All right, week 15, we have made it. This is the NFL show powered by BetUS. Before we get started, please like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Ton of good content, not only here on this show, but across the BetUS platform of networks as we gear up for college basketball season, NBA, and of course, college football. I saw the great bowl show that they put on today. So lots of great content for you here on the BetUS platform. Be sure to like and subscribe. My two co-hosts joining me as always. First of all, I'm Jared Smith, your host. My two co-hosts is joining me as always, Steve Fezzik, only available at pregame.com. Steve, how was the Circa Millions for you over the weekend? Are you still kind of near the top of the leaderboard then?
So went 3-2, but it was a good week for all of the cappers. And frankly, I underperformed. I really had opportunities to do better. So I'm tied for third and game out of first and down the wire. First prize is $1 million. I think fifth place is like 250,000. So very exciting times. I've had lots of success, as has Chris. Chris has been, for those who don't know, probably the most successful contest player in all of Las Vegas over the past 5 years. My success was back in the late 2000s and the like. So it's nice to be making a deep run in the main events, even though it's been a long time. Yes.
And you know, Las Vegas, Chris, of course. Show that there was a period of time where I was envious of you and kind of resentful that you always bring that up. And since I've met you and started working with you, I actually really like you, and I actually root for you. And I remember thinking to myself, boy, that's a real huge full circle that I would go from being envious to actually rooting for you instead of just being envious and such. Because, we just all want each other. If I can't win, I want you to win. And I would hope other people would think the same way.
Oh, very kumbaya moment here to start the show, guys. I'm already seeing people in the chat comment on Chris's new haircut, styling and profiling. Of course,
I changed my hairpiece this week, guys.
You look fantastic. But again, I said before the show, now I'm not the most handsome guy on the show anymore. Now that distinction goes to you for at least this week. And speaking of the chat, be sure to get involved. I'm already seeing people talk about who has the golden ticket for this week. I had it last week. I would call it an upset, frankly, because Fezzik's been hiring someone to give him the golden ticket every week. Of course, if you choose correctly who has the ticket, you get a free entry into the Tough Truck contest. There's the truck going across the stream. BetUS is going to give one of those puppies away at some point after the football season. And of course, you have plenty of time to get in your entries to try to win that Tough Truck. And a lot of people are already seeing in the chat trying to get involved with that contest. Also, you can be a BetUS superfan for just $1 per month. It gives you priority access in the chat. It gives you the cool emojis. If you want Chris to talk about his model and Fez with his math, all that great stuff. And again, for $1 a month, we're not breaking the bank here, guys. It's all a way for you to continue to engage with the channel and continue to support what we do here on BetUS. All right, but let's get right into it because it was a fantastic week for the entire team. Let's go right to the betting records. I mean, look at this, guys. We are now above 500 for the show as a show collectively. 145, 144, and 6 on the season. That is 50.2%. I'm feeling really good at 54.5%. Chris is a few games under 500. Fez, you had the banner week. Congrats on your capper of the week status, and you were the breadwinner. I believe a 7-1-1 week for you last week.
Yeah. Very overdue. And let me emphasize, and I think this is a mistake that people make. They look at short-term results and like, oh, Fez is suddenly seeing the card well, and now I'm going to start backing him. I assure you that my long-term record over 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years is way more relevant than any 1 week. So like the number one thing I would recommend people doing is I'm going to get a lot of my friends angry at me for saying this. Don't go out there and buy some tout that is like a legitimate 12-2 the last 14. Irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Query where how they did over the past year and 3 years and find someone, like if you're going to invest in a stock fund mutual manager, who cares what they did this past week? Look at the long-term record and whether they are indeed a long-term winner.
Anybody that's touting short-term streaks does not have long-term history to market. Just remember that. And it means nothing. And if anything, you want to hop on board with a long-term proven winner that is coming out of a slump. The worst time you want to hop onto somebody is when somebody's touting excellent short-term streaks because they're due to lose.
Yeah, I think the short-term hot streaks you see on social media are just to attract attention. And it's fair because marketing is a thing. You're not going to market your worst results when you're looking, you know, McDonald's, when they're putting on a commercial, is not going to talk about how high in fat the burgers are. They're going to talk about how delicious they are. So I understand a lot of the surface level stuff. But to these guys' point, you have to dig deeper and really drill into how a capper does long term before you make that decision. I guess the question, I'll open this up to the chat because I'm curious. If I end up, should we come up with some kind of prize now that the records between us are all kind of tightening up? I mean, Chris, Fez, do you think one of you can overtake me over the last 4 weeks of the season? Or is this a, I'm winning my belt, now it's just kind of a cruise control to the finish? And what should the prize be if I end up finishing ahead of you guys for the year?
Well, I'm going to disclose, by the way, I noticed, Jared, your volume has gone down slightly.
Yeah.
While you're nursing that lead. I don't know. You know, and but by contrast, I have a high volume week when I was behind, but I haven't been
smarter
to Peter Luger's yet. Of course, I'm going to pick a spot I can get comped. I'd be more than happy to take the team there to celebrate your win after you seal the deal.
Yeah, and you didn't bother to mention I had a plus 160 winner last week either. So
we're not
kind of hiding it.
Yeah, that I think that's an adjustment we should make for next year to the people behind the scenes. I think units. Because you should be penalized for losing a minus 130, and you should be rewarded for winning a plus 160. And we give out a lot of minus 130s here on the show. So definitely units, definitely something to keep in mind for next year. But let's not waste any more time talking about past performance. It's all about future history or future results, right? And we get into what is a packed slate of games for this week. No more bye weeks, guys. Rest of the year. We are cruising to the finish line. 16 games, and the time of the games is unique going forward. We now, with college football season ending, have Saturday as part of the schedule. One Thursday, three Saturday, 12 Sunday, one Monday. So let's start with Thursday night here in Las Vegas. Chargers at the Raiders. Look ahead, and this was a look ahead I noticed before the Justin Herbert injury. It was the Chargers laying 3-3 and a hook. And now we've obviously seen the line flip since the Herbert injury, and now Easton Stick under center. So, Fez, I'll start with you really quick because the market's kind of indicating about a 6.5-point move from Herbert to Easton Stick. Does that vibe with you?
It does. I've got Herbert 1.5 points better than an average quarterback. Obviously, he's not clutch at all. He's the opposite of the big red machine, Tony Perez, the clutchest player I ever saw growing up as a little boy. Homer to the 1967 All-Star game and in numerous World Series, etc. So Stick, I've got it -4. So that's a 5.5-point downgrade. And the market has certainly reflected that change here. I got to tell you, this is the first game all year, I think, where at Allegiant Stadium right down the road from me, there is going to be a home field advantage because there are no Charger fans and there are no Easton Stick fans. So it will be a very pro Raider crowd. If there's one theme this week that I would emphasize, there's a whole bunch of games lying close to the three, and pros are maniacal about games like this. So I make the game 3.2. So I would lean towards the Chargers -3, but it wouldn't be a play. Excuse me, lean towards the Raiders -3. Won't be a play, but you know what? There's some 2.5s out there, and absolutely, I bet -2.5. That makes all the difference in the world, getting the better the number. There'll be several games we'll speak of this week that have that same theme.
Chris,
the party's over here in Las Vegas. The old cigar-smoking clan celebrating after the game. That's kind of they came out of the break. I think we talked about it last week, and they were just deflated. They couldn't even score the whole game. It was just something remarkable. And obviously, the Chargers losing Herbert is going to affect them. It comes down to this simple adage. You have two bad teams facing each other, you take the points. And so I'm taking the points, and kind of oddly, both of these teams scored fewer and have scored like Jack Diddley recently. I think they scored fewer than
Raiders didn't score last week. They were shut out.
So what would they had 7-0. There's actually a really excellent trend that this actually kind of reverses itself this game. And they're both playing, you know, they're both dome teams and they're playing indoors and they didn't score much and they're bad teams. And also what I like about it is the preparation issues. We may have Garoppolo in there. They don't know what to make out of this East End guy. So I think that there's going to be more offense than we expect, especially I don't think Jacobs is going to play, so they're not going to be running the ball as much. They might be passing the ball as much. So there's not as much, you know, tension involved. There's going to be not as much focus. So I look for a little bit of a looser game, and I look for more scoring. I like the over in this game. Took over 34. And I like Chargers in a teaser, 10-point teaser. It leads off the week. I actually like plus 10 and a 7-point teaser as an alternative. I didn't have time to come up with the perfect one, but I put the Chargers in with Minnesota and Dallas in a 3-team teaser. I really like that. Boy, do I like that.
Yeah, I like the Chargers in a 10-pointer, and I'll kind of ride with the vibe of two bad teams, low total game, should be. And I think Easton Stick can move a little bit. And I didn't really think he showed that well against Denver's defense last week. The Raiders defense, I don't know if they're on that same level, especially up front. I will say this. The Raiders, after coming off that shutout, you would certainly expect a better offensive performance from them. This is a rematch from week 4. The Chargers won that game 24-17. Obviously, a very different vibe. Justin Herbert was under center. The Chargers were a 7-point favorite in that game. They didn't cover. They pushed the spread. And these teams this season are a combined 20-6 to the under. So it has been under for the Raiders and the Chargers for most of the year. To Chris's point, maybe that reverts. And I'll vibe with the 10-point teaser here. I'll reveal the rest of the legs later in the show. Chris and I both putting the Chargers in a 10-point teaser. And Chris is also taking the over. Fez is laying off the game. But right, Fez, Raiders minus 2.5 would be a bet for you, right?
It would be. I would be remiss not to bring the math here on the 10-point, what some call the sweetheart teasers. Here comes the math, boys. At BetUS, these 10-point teasers are much better than any other book, because what happens, most books on these sweetheart teasers, they grade a tie as a loss. What does that force you to do? You basically can never play a teaser onto a plus 3 or a minus 3, or even really any integer. You can only play half points because ties lose. Well, at BetUS, if you have, and Chris shared with me the rules here, he was on top of it, that if there is a tie anywhere across the board, it's automatically nulls and voids the entire teaser. So it's perfectly fine to go ahead and play integer numbers and the like with your 10-point teasers. And if you're going to play anywhere in the world, play at BetUS.
Love it. Yep, I'm already seeing the math emojis in the chat. And also, shout out to Robert McMahon, who said that I should get a quasi-sharp card if I end up beating you two for the season. I don't know what a quasi-sharp card is. Maybe, Fez, you can design one
quasi
for me.
Create it.
Yeah, quasi. But I appreciate that shout out, because I feel, listen, you're going up against the, I'm swimming in a pool of sharks here, guys. And, you know, I've held my own this year. So I'm pretty proud of myself. All right, let's move on to Saturday's games, though, because we have a lot more to get to. Vikings at Bengals. Interesting cross-conference matchup here. Look ahead, Minnesota minus 1. And obviously, we've seen the flip since then. It got all the way to 3.5, and we've seen a little buyback now. It's kind of sitting 3.25. And it's kind of asking, and I'll get right to it, because none of us have any bets on this game, and we already have quarterback shift. So, you know, it's worth quantifying what the move is from Dobbs to Nick Mullins. Like Fez, how do you kind of grade where the Vikings are at this point? Going from Cousins to Dobbs was a much bigger move. Where do we go from Dobbs to Mullins now, point-wise?
So Mullins, I have as a slightly below average backup quarterback, minus 3.5 versus a 0 would be a average NFL starting quarterback. You know, that would be like Geno Smith or Wilson right now for Denver. But I've got Dobbs. I had Dobbs better, obviously, until he stopped learning, being able to play quarterback. And so I have the two comparable. So I really don't have a difference, but oftentimes you have a change and the team gets a bump, especially after a horrible performance like the Vikings had offensively last week. But they weren't any good with Dobbs or without him. So I don't really think it's an upgrade or a downgrade. Probably less volatile the game if you're teasing the game, because you just never know when you're going to get good Dobbs or bad Dobbs on any one play. I did, full disclosure, I bet the Vikings in this game, but I got 3.5, and I actually put it into our tracking spreadsheet, and the boys got me. They're like, Fez, that line just went down to 3 here. And so I'm like, all right, no play at 3. Too big of a difference.
You're so disciplined, Fez. Chris, Mark Holmes in the chat says, upgrade for Mullins. Is that a true or a false statement from Mark Holmes?
Oh, yeah, my apologies. I have absolutely lost all usage of my video on my computer, so I can't
see
anything.
I'll read out the chat questions for you, pal.
And I can't message any, I can't move anything, so I'm completely blind. So
we can hear you loud and clear.
Normal. But no, I think Mullins is an upgrade. I love it. I was expecting that. I mean, he's no savior. Don't get me wrong. He hasn't started a game since 2020. I think he's started 17 games overall in his career. But he's serviceable, and he falls more in line with how Kirk Cousins was operating in the system. So he's going to be more in line with that. And when Jefferson looks on track to be back, he says he's playing. There's a couple of other injuries we're keeping an eye on, but, you know, things are looking up for Minnesota, and they did say Chase is going to be playing, but obviously he's dinged up, something to worry about there. But this is a do-or-die little mini playoff game between these two teams, because whoever loses this game is in some deep trouble. So, of course, now the dog has to make all this noise, so it's like it's out to get me. But I like the Vikings a lot in this situation. I just think that they're going to get back on track. I think I really like that the Bengals quarterback, but they have more problems than just a banged up quarterback. And I think that this is going to be high scoring. Also, I did take a better number on the over, but I teased obviously with the Chargers. I like a 10-point teaser up to 13 and a half. I also, as an alternate, I like the 7-pointer up to 10 or 10 and a half. So that's where I am at it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. You know, this upgrade with Justin Jefferson is a huge deal. I didn't think he was going to play. You know, he went to the hospital, you know, had been disabled, and now he's back and he gets hurt again. But boom, if he plays, you could probably talk. You know what? You probably could talk me into Minnesota. I'm going to leave it as a strong lean, though. No live bet on Minnesota.
Yeah, I think the 3.5, and maybe I think maybe we see it at some point, but with the Jefferson news, right, Fez, there's no way this gets back to 3.5. I mean, this is
no
only
chance.
Going in one direction.
Yeah.
It's just so teaser-friendly, though. It's so teaser-friendly.
I think that's the next option, right? I mean, it's a relatively low total, 40.5. This thing gets down to 2.5 at some point. Use the Vikings as a teaser. Like, listen, and Jake Browning's been good. I mean, he started three games now, lost his first game in Pittsburgh, which was in a tough spot. I think that was on a short week. And then he's won two straight since. And he looked really good last week. And if Chase is healthy, I mean, this is a Bengals offense. And I said it with Browning. This is a Bengals offense that has a ton of weapons. They just needed the right trigger man. And maybe Burrow just wasn't healthy. Bring Browning in, knows the system. He's healthy. And you're seeing this offense kind of respond. So, listen, the Vikings won a game last week 3-0. Here's my bet. They're not winning 3-0 this week. This is going to take a little bit more offense. Maybe Mullins gives them a spark. The only official play here from the panel, Vikings plus 13 for Chris. But Fez might be convinced here on a strong lean if he gets a 3.25.
Oh, I would like to add that with these teasers, they're all time layered. Yeah. So, if God forbid I would lose that Chargers, which I won't, I will come in and replace the orphans, which are the unused teaser legs. And it's always smart to have them time layered so that you do not waste legs on a teaser. So I do go into the YouTube channel. I'm not going to be adding a pile of stuff just to make, if I have to adjust back legs that I've lost or any other games that I think a line's going to be better later on, I'll be back in there to make those adjustments.
Yep, Chris, you're fantastic in the chat, and we certainly appreciate that. But let's move on. Steelers at Colts. Again, these are Saturday games, so if you're not betting them usually, if you wait to bet, don't wait too long. Look ahead here was Indy -3. We've seen a slight move there towards the road dog, so now we're seeing 2.5. Traded in the market. So Steelers are off the mini bye, right, guys? They lost outright to the Patriots last Thursday. It's been a while since that game, so you might forget. They were a 5.5-point favorite in that game. Pittsburgh now the first team in NFL history to lose back-to-back home games to teams at least 8 games under 500. So certainly a dubious distinction for the Steelers team. Now they have to go on the road and face a Colts team that's coming off a bad loss of their own. They got blown out in Cincy on Sunday, lost by 20 as a 2.5 point dog. And Chris, I'll start with you here, because again, the teaser market to your advantage with the Colts.
Yeah, it's this has a little bit of variance to it with the new offensive coordinator taking over, and the locker room has been having some issues. There's there's some emotions running wild in Pittsburgh. I believe that there's been some negativity thrown about Tomlin his way. You don't really see that too often, but there's no excuse. You can't be losing after what they've accomplished all the season to sit there and lay these eggs the way they did these last two games. Just unforgivable almost. I like Indianapolis. They've been pretty consistent. They didn't play well last week, but they're back on home turf. And I love taking a -2.5 and making it a +7.5 with a game that I anticipate to be very close. So, as I did with the Steeler game last Thursday, I teased that they were a mid-range favorite, and because of that 10-point teaser, it was a win instead of a loss, because I switched off the money line parlays at the last minute, which was a nice audible, which I finally did something right. But Watt's questionable. Highsmith is questionable. I think that they're going to play, but they're banged up. If Watt's out, he's crucial for that defense. So keep an eye on that. But I like Indy's chances. They're right in the thick of it. And I'm going with the Indianapolis +7.5.
So I make the game Indy -3. And why am I not playing Indy then -2.5? Because that would be mathematically correct if it should be 3. Well, Godzilla says Tomlin, his guys will be prepared. And I've seen this movie before. Pittsburgh is not buttoned up as a favorite. They oftentimes look past their opponents. It's shocking that they lost back-to-back as big favorites. But we will get all that Pittsburgh has to offer. Excuse me.
Oh, getting choked up over there. That's how much he likes the Steelers.
That's right. So my power ratings say Indy. The spot says Pittsburgh. I'm going to pass and have a drink of water.
I love it. Yeah, I was going to say, take a deep breath, pal. We want to keep you for the entire show. Great. And another great comment by Rico Bond in the chat, who says this is a good time to take a pause and give Fezzik a minute here. Crush the like button on the video, guys, because only 20% of you in the chat right now have liked the video. So we really would appreciate all the support as we move forward here with this game. I think the key is for Chris is getting it through the 7, right?
If you're going to do a 10-point teaser with the Colts. You cannot take it to the 7. You have to get past that 7. I should have mentioned that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. That's why I'm here, right? Is to tie everything with a bow. Chris is advising to bring the Colts through the 7 on the teaser, and we'll reveal the other two legs of his 10-point teaser a little bit later in the show. But he expects Indy to be able to win, if not lose by more than a touchdown at home to the Steelers. We'll see if Pittsburgh can bounce back. All right, moving on. This is the late game, the Saturday evening affair. Broncos at Lions. Look ahead here was Detroit -5.5, and I'm not surprised. We've seen a little bit of a move here towards the underdog. Detroit has looked shaky, right, guys? Lost 28-13 in Chicago last week as a 3-point favorite. The Lions have now lost 2 of their last 3 games against sub-500 teams, against the Bears and the Packers. Meanwhile, the Broncos are coming off of, you call it what you want, went on the road, and I guess road I use in quote marks in L.A., but beat the Chargers as a 3-point dog outright. They won 24-7. Denver's now won 5 of 6, and they're currently in like a logjam for those final 2 wildcard spots in the AFC. So Denver is very much alive for a playoff spot. Detroit obviously still controls their destiny in the NFC North, but Fez, the total for you is of interest here.
Absolutely, and I do think that scoring will pick up in the NFL. The Grand Salami finally went over last week, if you count the Monday games. And I tell you what didn't go over is the Detroit-Chicago game. That was my one loser last week, where I was over 42.5, and somehow they only got to 41. But I think that was all about Goff and the bad weather in Chicago.
Yeah.
Now we got a fast track here. Lions back at home, where their defense is lousy. Offense should click. Should be a shootout. Both teams should get to 23 points. So absolutely, kind of a no-brainer here over 47.5. It is an official play.
Hmm. Oh, boy.
Chris, any follow-up to that? You're more interested in a parlay here.
Well, I had that Detroit Lions under, so I was very happy with that. And I actually lean the under in this game also, but I'm not going to actually play it. But I think Detroit has more problems than people realize. And you know, it's funny because there were a lot of naysayers about Detroit for a period of time. And I believe that those people are actually higher on the Lions than what the reality of the Lions is. Detroit media doesn't seem too high on them. I follow the beat writers, and they're pretty nervous about this game. And my numbers do like the Lions, and I am going to use the Lions in a money line parlay paired with the New Orleans Saints, and that is a -103 proposition. The problem is we have Decker on the offensive line. He's already ruled out. Ragnow, the best center in the league, he was out last week. We're not sure whether he's going to be back or not. They've had some problems getting people integrated into this offense. St. Brown has had 3 receptions over the last few games. Goff is a turnover machine. There's serious issues with the team, and I think Detroit's strategy is going to be to run the ball, because as well as Denver has played recently, their run defense sucks. So Detroit should be able to run the ball, run some clock, control it, and control the pace. And I think that that's what's going to happen. And I think that Denver's got the ability to kind of stop them on a few drives and holding the field goals. And Denver's not the greatest team in the red zone either. So I think Denver's going to be able to move the ball also. And I think that there's going to be a few red zone stops on that end also. I think points may come a little bit harder than one might imagine. It's a primetime game. And you remember, Lions games on primetime get a little goofy. So anyway, I do like the Lions to win. I don't think it's going to be the piece of cake that some people are claiming it's going to be. I don't want to lay 4 points with it. I think it could be a field goal or less game, but I do like them to win. Mm.
Fez, I think the biggest question, and we're seeing it in the chat too, Mark Holmes says 2 teams heading in different directions. Is this kind of a line in the sand game for Detroit coming off the 2 losses that they had against Green Bay and Chicago? If they lose another one here to Denver at home, all of the good vibes in that locker room will have to be evaporated, right?
Sure, but it's a get-healthy game. Also, that Detroit has had a banner year. Detroit's the much better team. I have them 3 points better. They're the team that now suddenly needs the game like blood because they've been struggling. Denver's the team that's fraudulent, that has been, like, getting all these +3 and +4 turnover game after game. They get to play against Easton Stick and the Chargers, and so they look super impressive. So I've seen this movie before. You've got an average team that's been overachieving like Denver has, and now the average team goes to a playoff team and they just get blasted. So I could only look towards Detroit. I agree with the line move from -3 to -5 on Detroit. Also, you know, Chris isn't going to give you a bunch of -200 plays for money lines. I can tell you as a pro, if I was betting this, I would just bet Detroit on the money line here, shop for the very best number. It's an island game. I love island games, standalone games, because what happens if you do have access to betting exchanges, things like that, the difference between the bid and the ask on this, it wouldn't surprise me if this doesn't get dealt like -190 on the favorite, +188 on the dog. So you're going to get like a really good number on this. And so that's how I would bet personally on the money line. My sharp friends will take away my union card if I don't disclose that, but I'm on the over.
Well, we are trying to keep uniformity with the units in play. So we're not playing half units and full units and such. And people like to be able to not have that, you know, a lot of people don't like to risk 2 to win and half of 2. Yeah. So, you know, if you can find some sort of a combination that is somewhere around that unit range, that's the goal here.
I like the Lions money line spot because, again, the best thing about these games is the standalone nature of them and the fact that they're on Saturday. So you put Lions money line in a teaser, you tie it to something a Sunday, and you can literally watch the whole overnight market evolve before you have to make that, you know, decision if you're going to come off of it. Like with Chris, he's got the Lions and the Saints. You know, maybe the Saints line moves to 7 and he wants to bet the Giants +7 on Sunday. He's got the whole overnight market to watch that develop, and that's the beauty of using the parlays and the teasers as the time structure. So great stuff there.
Never, really important, we never tease a 5. Here comes more math. So you said teaser. Of course, you mean money line. So we don't tease 5.
Yeah, well, different spots. Yeah, different spots, teaser, money line, depending on what the game is. Yeah.
Yes, we never tease a five and a half, or a six-point teaser because it's the same as playing the money line, and the money line is cheaper.
Yeah, I meant it more in the context of in the Colts game, doing the same exact thing, teasing the Colts up and using Tampa Bay, which is the following day. So again, it's all about the price and the timing. Those that matters a lot more to these guys than what the game and who the teams are. So always keep that in mind when you're teasing money line parlays, and that's what Chris is doing for this, taking Detroit.
I find it very effective to lock in money line parlays on teams, and it doesn't apply this week, but you know, most of the year, Miami opens up as somewhere as, you know, a pretty big favorite, and San Francisco opens up as a pretty big favorite. And you can lock up their money lines if you know that the line is short at really good prices and get them combined. And that's the way that I like to use them. And you get some huge moves on that when you know Miami's 9 and it's going to end up at 13. So
yeah,
that's another consideration, too.
Great stuff. All right, let's move on here because Chris is using the lines in a money line parlay. Fez is betting the over 47.5 with Denver and Detroit. Let's go to Sunday, and we start with a divisional matchup. And now that we're into these divisional matchups at the end of the year, we usually have return matchups to talk about, and that's the case here. Falcons, Panthers. Look ahead was Atlanta -2.5, and we've actually seen this move towards the Falcons, despite the fact that they're coming off a 29-25 loss at home to the Bucs. They were a slight favorite in that game. Read a report this week that Atlanta will not fire Arthur Smith after the season, quote, barring a serious late season collapse, end quote. Well, maybe a late season collapse involves a loss to the Panthers, who've only won one game all year. We'll see. Carolina's coming off a 28-6 loss in New Orleans. They were a 5.5-point dog in that game. They've now lost six straight games. And again, I said rematch from week one, guys. Now we have a week one rematch here where Atlanta won this game 24-10. They covered as a 3.5-point favorite. These two teams have really struggled against the spread this year. 6-18-2, and obviously the win-loss record on Carolina's side, not great either. But Fez, you think the total is in play for you with this game?
Yes, yeah, so and we've got 200 people watching right now live. Thank you to each and every one of you. You guys are what makes the show. Keep the good questions coming and your comments as well. For instance, on the previous game, one of the someone did bring up the fact 47 is a key number, Denver, Detroit. You know what? 48 is a key number also. So over 47.5. Yeah, I'd much rather get that 47. Absolutely. For this game, this is easy in my eyes. Ridder is a bad quarterback that can't play a lick on the road. He's much better at home, and he's terrible in the red zone. And, of course, Young for Carolina can't play a lick home or away. So I have bad quarterback play from both teams. Both teams feeling, hey, let's avoid the big mistake that will be the difference. And let's face it, Carolina like gave up a punt, blocked. That's why they gave up 28 points. Their defense was styling last week against the Saints. They only gave up a little over 200 yards. The weather's going to be crappy, rain, wind. It's going to be a 0-0 tie heading into overtime. So we've got 35 points to play with in overtime. When we go under 35, what could possibly go wrong?
Chris? You agree with that?
It's
sentiment?
Like he's reading my notes. The weather is going to be just atrocious, supposedly. 60-mile-an-hour winds, rain. Rookie quarterbacks or inept quarterbacks facing off against each other. But Atlanta's quite banged up, so maybe Carolina will actually get a little bit of offense going this week for once. I hadn't looked at this total, and I was thinking about, boy, that total seems okay. I don't know how the hell they're going to score over 35 points. So I'm actually going to add that live.
So am
as
I.
A play under the 35, because I agree. I think the weather's going to be crap. These teams are not going to move the ball. You have the dome team, Atlanta, playing outside in the rain or in the wind. And if anything, there's going to be more of the game played on the ground and not through the air. So I think that's a great look. I'm right there with you, Steve.
Yep, I just bet it as well. Again, I wasn't expecting to get there. There's another bet that the guys endorsed that I think I am going to get to live. I was just waiting to hear their reasoning. I was unaware. I did not check the weather forecast in Charlotte. That field can get sloppy at times. It is a natural grass field in Charlotte. Indoor team going outdoors. And listen, these teams played in week one when everyone was healthy and fresh and when nobody had any tape on any of the offenses, and it still stayed under 35, 24-10 final. So I don't see how in the return matchup this is not a close to the best game. And now hearing what we're hearing with Atlanta, if they get blown out in Carolina, that could be the late season collapse that the ownership was talking about, kind of hedging their bet a little bit there, keeping Arthur Smith around for another season, because it has not been a pretty year in Atlanta with expectations sky high. So across the board, guys, we have consensus. Fez, I'll give you last licks here because you're the one that originated this play.
We're just going to move forward. We're going to have to go into the two-minute drill here at the end of the first half because we're running a little bit behind schedule, and I definitely want to leave time for our audience to give some of their fantastic questions and answers.
Good call. Good call. Let's move on. We're all on the under here. Just bet the under and thank us after the game finishes 6-3. All right, look ahead here. Bears and Browns. Let's go. Cleveland hosting Chicago here. Look ahead was Cleveland -3, and we've seen a slight move now. But not a huge move off the key number, but just a little bit of fluctuation there towards the dog. Bears coming off that impressive win, 28-13 over the Lions. They were a three-point home dog. They're now 4-0-1 against the number in their last five games, 6-2-2 against the spread in their last 10. Chicago, definitely an overachieving team. Browns coming off that close, tight win over Jacksonville at home. They won it by 4. The spread was 2, 2.5. Of course, the two-point conversion by Doug Peterson at the end. Controversial to some, but I'm sure this panel will agree that was the right move. They didn't get it. And unfortunately, that's why Jacksonville didn't cover that game. Cleveland did. Now Joe Flacco, the starter for the rest of the year. And Chris, do you think that is a signal to buy on the Browns with Flacco under center this week?
You know, I just worry about his offensive line protection because he's, you know, he's about as mobile as the goalpost. So that's my concern. And there's just always added injuries. I don't know how Stefanski is able to coach this team through all the obstacles with injuries that they've had all year. They lost two more players again, and somehow they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. But Chicago's defense showed up as number one on my list, I believe, again. Yeah, they're back up to the number one defense. You have to take that with a grain of salt a little bit because they have had some weak opponents. But nevertheless, they play entirely different at home. They're much stronger at home. I like the veteran leadership of Flacco. I think that's probably a calming force with the team. That he's not going to make stupid mistakes, except something like he did with that pop-up against the Rams. But other than that, he was very good. I think the Bears have been playing a little bit over their head. I think that they've been in some good matchups, and I think they're going to find it much more difficult to move the ball. They're not going to be able to – they matched up really well against the Lions last week, and they've had some good matchups themselves. And as well as they've been playing – they just really aren't in the same class as the Browns, and all we're doing is asking the Browns to basically win the game. So I'm going to just lay the -3 with the Browns, and I think that they'll win and cover.
I actually have the teams close to the same class. I only have the Browns half a point better. A lot of that is I don't share the optimism about Joe Flacco. I fully agree he's performed better than I expected. I still think he's a walking corpse, and I'm not sure he can even walk anymore. And I think eventually we're going to see a couple strip sacks, and the real Joe Flacco will show himself. And he's a former gunslinger, so he can't help but throw the ball down the field and get picked. So why am I not on the Bears? Well, full disclosure, I bet the Bears +3.5, and I just don't want to give out +3. And so, you know, a little discipline can be a good thing. So I will lean the opposite way here, even a 3.
Yeah, good discipline. Great point by Chris Lawrence. Bears lost Yannick Ngakoue this week. So a little notch against, and you can argue how effective he's been. He's still a really good player that the offense has to scheme for. And congrats to INFJ Tyrone, who's now a BetUS super fan. I just saw that pop up in the chat there. So another super fan crosses the picket line. We appreciate your patronage, my friend. The only play in this game officially is Chris laying the 3 with the Browns as they host Chicago this week. Let's move on. Bucks at Packers. The Battle of the Bays. Tampa Bay at Green Bay. Love when these two teams face each other. Look ahead was Green Bay -3.5. We pretty much staying right there. Bucks coming off that nice road win in Atlanta. They were a slight dog in that game. They've been a feisty dog this year because they're 8-5 against the spread, but just 6-7 with their straight-up win-loss record. So they've had a lot of games this year where they've covered and haven't won. Packers off a short week. Of course, that Monday night loss, 24-22, on the road to the Giants. They were a 5.5-point favorite in that game. So never good when you go on the road and lose outright as a 5.5-point fave. Great call by Fezzik, though. You were on the Giants plus 7. Close closer to 5, and New York wins it outright. Didn't even need the points, Fez. So I'll give you first crack at this one because I don't think we have any plays, at least, unless there's a – oh, Chris has the teaser on Tampa. But, Fez, I'll give you first crack because clearly the Packers are in your hair – in your sights right now after the great call last week fading them.
Yeah, and that some of those Packers players might be in the sights of some former Survivor players, circa Survivor, if you haven't been following it, $9 million winner-take-all – and the feeling was there'd be like 10 winners. Well, now there's only 13 dudes left alive because there've been a whole lot of upsets, including the aforementioned Green Bay Packers that let people down on Monday night. So now each entry has an implied worth $1,000 entry fee. It's worth $720,000. So biggest contest in the world that I am aware of. Packers, check the injury report. Wide receiver cluster injuries all over the place. Without that information, I don't think I can bet this game. If they were going to get those guys, I've got Green Bay significantly better with a big home field. I got a Florida team heading to the elements. Okay, it's not going to be Arctic cold, but it's going to be 40 degrees. So because of that, I'll lean Green Bay, but I can't do it until I get a better injury report.
You know, it was kind of shocking to see that Monday Night Football performance by Jordan Love because I think just about everybody had gone from non-believer and we all drank Kool-Aid thinking this guy was much better than he is. And then he shows up and we ended up living, living La Vida Loco. But Green Bay actually... he built up his stats against some weak defenses beforehand, and we kind of ignored that. One thing to consider there. They've got a lot of injuries, as Steve said, so another concern. But, you know, it's also the same situation with Tampa Bay. They've got some concerning issues, injuries this week to consider also. Tampa Bay is in the playoff spot right now, this is a division leader. I think I mentioned last week that I expected that whole division to come out at 6-7 and make things very interesting. And they cooperated. And I think that Tampa Bay is going to cooperate with me this week and be able to keep this game close. And I think these teams are a hell of a lot closer than we realize in talent. I think we see these people, these teams go in these short fluctuations up and then they come down. They go up, they come down. And we saw a little bit of Packer growth where they looked really good, but they're not as good as we kind of thought they were. So I think it's going to be a much harder victory for Green Bay than one would think. And I love the teaser option. I don't have my screen. I think I have it in a teaser.
13.5.
I'm sorry?
13 and a, you have the Bucks up to 13.5. It's the first teaser you put in with the Chargers.
Okay.
So, the second teaser you put in with the Colts.
Okay, so Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, and what was the third
city.
One?
Kansas City. We'll get to that game a little later. But yeah, Watson, Wicks, the wide receivers is questionable. Alexander, the star corner, Jair Alexander. Quay Walker, one of their better linebackers, maybe their best linebacker. And Aaron Jones, all questionable for this game. Tampa Bay got some injuries too. I saw someone in the chat, I forget who, mentioned, oh, Godzilla. Baker Mayfield in cold weather is always an interesting adventure. Not as Fez alluded to, not terribly cold in Green Bay, not frozen tundra like, but still definitely below 50 degrees. And the Tampa Bay Bucks in this division with the NFC South, can the College Football Playoff Committee do what they did to Florida State, do the same thing to the NFC South when it comes to the NFL playoffs? I can't believe that we're going to get another one of these sub 500. NFC South teams like Brady and the Bucks last year make the playoffs, but it's going to happen, and they're probably going to be like a 7-point home favorite to one of the best, or 7-point home dog to one of the wild card teams as we move forward. But it looks like the Bucks at 13.5, the only official wager here in the teaser for Chris. So let's move on. Divisional game here, Tennessee hosting Houston. Look ahead, Houston was -3.5, and I'm not surprised. We've seen this now line flip completely. Tennessee a 2.5-point favorite trending towards 3. So, Fez, I'll start with you right off the top because that's implying about a 5.5-point move from Stroud to Davis Mills, maybe 6 now as we get close to 3. Do you agree with that?
I do. I've got Stroud about 1.5 better than an average starter. Mills like a -3.5. So that's a 5-point difference. And it's been reflected in this line, you know, pursuant to the weather. It's not just Baker Mayfield. You know, it's really the entire team. And by example, and the BetUS college football guys do just a tremendous job. Definitely check out their show. That's, you know, up and ready right now. But like the Rutgers is playing Miami of Florida, and that game's, you know, in Yankee Stadium. And we've seen this movie every time where all the Miami Hurricanes will be shivering on the sideline, you know, and their parkas and everything else. And the Rutgers guys will be out there practicing in their short sleeves. Major advantage. And I think you could actually make money, if nothing else, playing against any team that's 40 degrees out of their normal element. So if you've got a team playing in Miami in 100 degrees that's from the north in October, fade them. And I think if you've got a Florida team going to 40 degrees or 30 degrees, fade them in January and you will do just fine. In this case, how impressive are those Tennessee Titans? I didn't want to comment. I'm the old guy that's been shouting at the rain for 10 years. Talking about when it's late in the game and you're down 8 or down 4, you should go for it. And everyone disagreed with me and said, I'm just crazy. And now what's interesting is finally the analytics teams have come around. Tennessee won that game against Miami because they went for 2. It was the right call. It was even better the right call because they were the underdog. But if you hash out all the math, warning, more math coming, and you tree it out, basically under the assumption you're going to get a touchdown and then you got to get another touchdown. If you kick twice and you go to overtime, it becomes a 50-50 proposition if the game's pick'em. But you're going to make the 2-point conversion half the time, so you win if you make the 2-point conversion. And then you don't lose if you miss it. You still have a path where you can get a 2-pointer and win in overtime. So you win 62.5% of the time. The same math, by the way, really applies when you're down 4, because the only way it matters is in the Jacksonville case that they have to get into field goal position. Well, you win. If you're down 2 and you're in field goal position, you take 3 knees, you kick the field goal, you win. But if you're down 4, now you can chuck it into the end zone and go balls to the wall. So because of that, it is correct and bold prediction. Everybody on the internet, Jacksonville did the wrong thing going for 2. 7 years from now, every single person will say, we've run all the Monte Carlo simulations. It's not close. I know other things can happen. Jacksonville did the right thing, and all NFL teams late in the game will go for it. The one exception could well be a huge favorite could say, you know what? I'm so much better than the opponent, like the Niners, for instance. I'll just kick my extra points and I'll beat you in overtime. That is the one exception.
Hey, why would you want to put yourself in a situation to go to overtime and you may never see the ball? That's, you know, that's just awful. You'd rather take your chances in game before because you may lose a coin toss and never get to touch the ball again.
Yeah, we were going back and forth about that decision. I think the time left mattered a little bit there, too, because there's only a minute and 30 seconds left, I think, when Peterson went for 2 in that spot. And the odds of getting a touchdown going the length of the field in that time compared to just having to get to the 35, 40-yard line these days, they kick a 56, 57-yard field goal, is different. So the math changes, I think, a little bit in that case. But, yes, I think most of the analytical minds agree with you, Fez.
Even if you didn't have time and it was a 0% chance, if you had kicked a field goal and then you went down, scored a touchdown, and you're down 1, you're the underdog. You're supposed to go for 2 anyway. So there's you cannot make a case that it was wrong. And everyone is making a case. And I tell you, Fez, people are like, Fez, how can you be right? And the entire world is wrong. And I'm like, hey, the entire world 10 years ago, you know, when a team was down 8, they all kicked the extra point and they were all wrong.
Now everyone goes for 2. Titans team went for 2 down 14. They scored a touchdown last week and they went for 2. On Monday night they did it. And Tennessee was rewarded for it.
Pulling back the curtain, you can make a whole lot of money betting sports when everybody thinks something and they're wrong. Example, you could play NFL 6-point even money teasers. And the whole world thought those were sucker bets. You could play NFL parlay cards. And 6 teamers paid 54-1, and everyone thought those were sucker bets against stale numbers, and they were like the highest ROI you could possibly find. They're approaching like 75%, plus 75%. People disagree with me. They're wrong. You could run the numbers, punch into like a 57% rate of return. I'm sorry, a win probability, taking good numbers. I digressed a little bit. I do like the Titans. I think they got their mojo from that win. And I have them as the better team against Houston with all the momentum. And I am on the Titans this week.
Yeah, I like the Titans too. Chris, you don't have a play on this game, I don't think. But yeah. The way that I look at this game is Houston's got the concussion situation with Stroud brewing. I said a couple weeks ago, I took some heat in the chat for it too, that Stroud was going to hit a wall at some point because rookies in the NFL after 12 games, they played their full college season, and it's hard for them to make it through a full year. And guess what? He ran into a really good defense last week, and he got nicked up a little bit. And the Titans, listen, they kind of controlled their destiny here. They play Houston twice and the Jags once over their final 4 weeks. They are still in the mix for this division, as crazy as it sounds.
I'm tempted to just throw in a three-teamer with Houston now. I don't think Stroud's playing, though, but just on
the
remote.
I don't think so either.
Just on the remote chance that he would, you know, imagine that value. But I don't think, you know, Tennessee doesn't have the type of team to put anybody away. And I know that they think they're going to go with Mills, but, you know, they do have Keenum in there, and they may get back Schultz. So I think Houston's at least drawing live here. They're certainly the better team if they, you know, had Stroud in the lineup. And I just think it's...
But are they the better team without their two top weapons? Like, last week you saw no Schultz, no Dell. I mean, they could not do a darn thing against the Jets.
Yeah, but you remember, that's an in-game injury where they weren't prepared
for that.
Even
in the first half before he got hurt, they weren't doing anything.
I just think that overall any team can have a, you know, short-term sputter. Houston the entire season has sputtered during, you know, brief points in every game where they're doing nothing, and then all of a sudden, you know, they have these big comebacks or they get out to a nice lead. So, you know, we didn't really have enough information to figure that out for sure. So, but Houston's got a lot of drive, a lot of, you know, they've got everything to play for, and you're going to get their best effort. And I think the coaching there is the guy's been working miracles up till now. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he'll be able to keep it close. I don't have an official play on it. It's just a consideration that I think that they'll be within teaser range.
Fez is going to lay it with Tennessee, and I'm going to put Tennessee in leg number two here of my teaser. And Fez, you can kind of confirm or deny the 10-point teaser from 2.5 to 7.5. That's a solid leg for you, especially in a game with a total of 38.
I apologize. I am not well versed with the 10-point teasers and the vagaries of it. So I am going to devote to doing that research on the offseason.
Chris, 10-point teaser through up to 7.5. That's a solid leg, right?
That is an absolute great leg in a lot of situations.
Love it. Well, that's how I'm playing this game, because I think Will Levis, I saw a comment in the chat a few minutes ago, Will Levis is a gamer, Rico Bond. I agree. Kid went into Miami and beat the number one team in the AFC on Monday night. And now we'll see how he handles a short week. But I think he's one of the – it's funny, of all the rookie quarterbacks, he got the most heat pre-draft. And he looks to be the one that's going to finish the season the strongest. Good stuff from Will Levis. Really impressive with Tennessee. They've got two great running backs, Henry and Spears, that can take the pressure off him. And Hopkins looks like the real deal. I think they either win this game outright, as Fez is on the 2.5, or they definitely keep it close, because I don't think Houston without those weapons is going to put any distance between themselves and the Titans on the road in Nashville this week. So that's how I'm playing it. Let's move on, though. One of my favorite games of the week from a momentum standpoint and just an entertainment standpoint, Giants and Saints, look at here was New Orleans -5.5, and we have seen it move towards New Orleans. The Saints looked good last week, 28-6 win over the Panthers. They covered easily as a 5.5-point home favorite. It snapped a 3-game losing streak against the spread. But the Giants, really, the toast of the town this week, right, guys? Coming off that win outright as a 5.5-point home dog at home on Monday night. And Tommy DeVito, he is the toast of the town right now. It looks like I'm the only one that has a – oh, no, Chris, you also have the Saints in a parlay. So let's kick it off with you. New Orleans at home, you got DeVito with all the hype. Now he has to go on the road to the Superdome. Very difficult place to play, and you're expecting a letdown here.
Well, the reason it's so easy to make money in sports betting is exactly what we saw last week. It was absolutely fully expected that DeVito would be the NFC player of the week, And the AFC player of the week was going to be Zach Wilson. I mean, it's getting boring how predictable this is. So
that's sarcasm out there for anyone that can't interpret Chris.
But I like the Saints. I think I like this situation. The Giants are due for a letdown on a short week. Lots of emotion in that game. It's just a great situation. And the Saints are the better team. But why lay the six? I just played them on the money line.
Yeah, I make the game seven. So I am not a believer in Mr. DeVito, who is no good at Syracuse or Illinois. And he won't be in the NFL in a couple years. He'll still be loved very much by his mom. You know, some people like, you know, your parents like you when you can sleep, you know, in their basement. You know, DeVito, I think he's sleeping in his parents' bed. I really do. You know, it's good for him. I'll just lean to the Saints.
I love, guys, this is, and Fez alluded to it at the top of the show. I am going to strategically try to protect my advantage over these two gentlemen. Because like I said, I'm swimming in a sea of sharks and I want to beat them this year. So I'm going to pick my spots carefully over the last 4 weeks as we get into the playoffs. I think this is one of my favorite spots of the week on New Orleans. I love fading the quote-unquote toast of the town type of plays. Tommy DeVito, I mean, first of all, his agent is something straight out of Central Casting. He is probably getting more attention this week from his agent and from himself that he's ever gotten in his entire career. And I'm not saying he can't handle it, but there's no way that he can handle it to the level that he did this week. It's a short week for them. They're going on the road. I don't trust New Orleans and Derek Carr as far as I can throw them, but this just feels like a flat spot. I already saw in the chat, everybody loves the Giants in our poll. That makes me feel even better that I am on the Saints minus six this week. I think the defense will shut down the running game for the Giants. It will not be Saquon Barkley left, right, and center like it was against the Packers. I don't know how the Packers didn't defend Barkley very well, but they let him do whatever he wants, and it's not going to happen this week. So I think the Saints win this one. They win it big. I will clearly lay it with New Orleans. Chris is in agreement. He'll put the Saints in a money line parlay. Sorry, Tommy. Tommy Cutlets. The story comes to a little bit of a roadblock this week as we move on to a divisional game. My Jets taking on the Miami Dolphins down in Miami this week. Look ahead, Miami was a big double-digit favorite. Not anymore. Move towards the road dog. This is at 9 now, trending towards 8. I'm seeing some shops across town. Jets coming off that really impressive dog to the Texans last week. Zach Wilson showed some signs of brilliance. Defense continues to look good. Miami off the short week. They lost outright as a 13.5 point home favorite on Monday Night Football. Ouch. This is a return matchup from Black Friday a few weeks ago where the Dolphins won 34-13. They covered as a big favorite. Game went over. Fez, it looks like this is kind of the agreement across the board from the panel that probably not going to see as many points this time around between these two teams.
Yeah, so the Cheetah is all banged up with an ankle injury. We know we got a team from South Florida. The Beach Kids head to the bad weather in New York, and that offense definitely slowed down against the Titans in the second half, and I think it's going to struggle in the elements. And the Jets, really good defense, no offense. Wilson probably take care of the ball. Under 37.5, a no-brainer. Hey, really important for the audience to try to catch the show live. We had a triple best bet, Atlanta, Carolina, under 35. That number has left the building as the holidays, and the board is lighting up as a Christmas tree. Several people have just gone out and gotten their Christmas trees recently, and they're decorating it right now as we speak, and the board is being decorated. That totals down to 34.
Look at us.
I see 33.5.
That's impressive, guys. I'm betting this other one now. Go ahead, Chris. Tell me why the Jets Dolphins game is going to stay under while I bet it before it moves down.
Well, let's not forget Miami lost their starting center too. So
yeah,
that's going to affect their offense a little bit. And I don't know about you guys, but the Jets defense never gave up. In fact, they have been doing just fine on defense. They've been improving over the last 5 weeks, even though they were already good. So you could have thought that maybe they were going to quit and get disillusioned by how poor the offense had been playing. But no, they're playing hard, and they would love nothing more than to stick it to Miami. I'll tell you that. So oh, yeah. Miami should have difficulty running the ball, and Tua's going to pass the ball in the rain in the 20 to 25 mile an hour winds.
Oh, this game's in Miami. This game's in Miami, Chris. Yeah, so that, I mean, there might be rain and wind, but I would be surprised if it's that heavier.
Me bad. That's on me. I was aware of the bad weather forecast, and I was not aware of that.
Is there bad weather? Because yes. As someone who grew up in South Florida, the weather can change very quickly down there.
It is a bad weather forecast.
It can change very quickly, but right now it's scheduled to be 20 to 25 mile an hour winds and rain. So if that's the case, that's going to make it very difficult to throw the ball. So this should be really interesting. We know that, Zach Wilson had his game of the century. He should just retire. It's never going to get any better than last week. So, scoring is going to be, as Steve said, scoring is going to be very rough in this game. And honestly, it would not surprise me at all to see the Jets cover this spread. But I'm just going with the under 37.5 on this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Jets won this game outright. I think Miami's in a really interesting spot. I'm seeing not only the center Williams is out, Robert Hunt, the tackle, doubtful, Armstead still doubtful, and they might get Holland, who I think is one of the best safeties in the league. They might get him back, questionable with a knee injury. He got hurt 2 weeks ago against Washington, didn't play last week. And Tennessee, listen, go watch that game. Tennessee was throwing it, especially in the second half. Hopkins had a lot of space. I think if Holland's back, the Jets offense, not quite to that level. Yeah. Under 30. I just bet it right now while you guys were gabbing it up there. I appreciate the vamp while I can go bet it. 'Cause 37.5, we now have two consensus underplays in this game, Atlanta, Carolina under 35, which is no longer available. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And now, Miami, New York. Under 37.5.
I think we need to make a rule that if Steve and I are on a play, since you have the lead, you can't tack it on to play keep away.
No, I'm actually proud of him. I think I love that he does that.
Well,
I was joking.
I can't win because Steve says I don't have enough plays, and then when I tail the two sharpest people I know who are giving out free information on live TV every week at the same exact time, I get crap for that, so I can't win either way, right?
Jared, if you tell me I'm brilliant, I will buy you dinner, anything you want. I tell you, I am your sugar daddy.
You better be careful there because I have expensive taste. As my mom said, I have champagne taste on a beer bankroll. That's a Karen Smith special there. Shout out mom if she's watching. She's not. I'm sure she's playing tennis in Boca right now. All right, let's move on. Last game in the early window on Sunday, Chiefs at Patriots. Man, this game was not interesting to me. Oh, excuse me. We're going to 49ers Cardinals here. I guess the order got a little bit, you know what? That's on me, guys. So the Chiefs Patriots was an early window game, but the rotation number is different because it got moved. It was supposed to be the primetime game, but they flexed it out. So let's go Niners-Cardinals here. Look at San Francisco minus 13.5. Not much movement, as you can see. Niners off that win. They covered some early numbers against the Seahawks, guys, but they did not cover the closing number. Of course, that was because of the Drew Lock move late. I don't know if Lock's going to play this week or if it'll be Geno. We'll get to that game when we talk about Seattle, but it is going to be Kyler Murray this week for Arizona, and that's intriguing because, guys, when these teams played in week 4, it was Josh Dobbs that was playing quarterback for Arizona, and the Niners won 35-16. They covered as a home favorite. I don't know if we have anyone on this game. I don't think so, but I'll still offer it up to the panel. Fez, do you think the line is fair based off of the two quarterbacks here?
I do not think the line is fair. This is a live bet. We are going with it. I'm going to get some of my San Francisco 49er fans angry with me. They can still win the game. What's fine. Your Niners are going to roll. We're going to take Arizona plus 13. You know, I was waiting on the sideline with this, and BetUS number is still plus 13, and that's a good number. This just got hit from 12.5, from 13.5 down to 12.5, and I agree with the move. You know, I was talking with my friend Gilly Alexander, like, when this was 14, I was like, what is going on? The line shouldn't be 14. I agree. I've got the best team in the NFL. Absolutely. The 49ers are styling. They're 10 points, power rate through the roof. They're 10 points better than an average team. And Arizona, very mediocre, 3 points worse. So this line should be 13 on a neutral, but it's not on a neutral. Now it is in Arizona, and there's a letup in the fourth quarter. Inevitably, all the Niners want to do is win and stay healthy. Line should be 11. I'll take Arizona plus 13. It is indeed a live bet for me.
Mm. Fez, you agree with that line of thinking there?
Or Chris? I'm not Fez. Sorry. I'm Chris.
Chris, you agree with that line of thinking there?
No. I show that the line is still short, but I do not want to lay this number. I want to just see what happens throughout the course of the week. It sounds really easy to take that many points at home. It looks so obvious, but these teams are miles apart. San Francisco is one of the best teams metrically wise, top five over the last 20 years. That's how strong they are right now. And they are not afraid to pile on anybody that'll let them be piled upon. So at this point, I'm sitting it out. I just don't see true value just because a home team is getting that many points. Because the metrics certainly, absolutely, not in a zillion years would support an Arizona play at this point. It's clearly the values on San Francisco. But it feels like so much of a coin flip in that range, you know, so easy to be backdoored, and who cares at that point? So I'm going to sit it out for now. But San Francisco is clearly better than this point spread. It's just a matter of whether they win by more than the point spread. Well,
Chris, you're going to get an opportunity here because I think this number's steaming down. Fez, I don't know if you saw something while you were making the live play as to why it's steaming down, but I'm seeing now 11.5 at one of the sharper shops here in Vegas, 12.5 market wide. So 13 might be long gone real soon.
Oh, it's been gone.
Yeah, it disappeared. I said it was 13, and then it went to 12.5 like 20 seconds later here. So someone is clearly listening, but is already moving at other shops. I think we got to pull back the curtain more on this, Chris, because Chris, you're saying like, oh, there's value in San Francisco. And I think global, big picture, that's because you see those underlying metrics that are just outstanding. But I actually, like, with my modeling, I actually have a number, like, with the power ratings. And like I said, I have a 10. San Fran, if they play an average team on a neutral, they're laying 10. And I got Arizona at a -3. And I don't think I'm on an island at all. I think everyone would agree Arizona's about 3 points worse than an average team. So it sounds to me like you just think San Fran should be power rated when you're saying this line is way off, literally 13 points better. Am I correct?
Yeah, I have Arizona third from the bottom and San Francisco number one.
So I have San Fran number one as well, but that doesn't matter. I mean, it's ultimately how much are they number one by, but it sounds like you've got them even more than I do. And you do have Arizona lower than I do. By example, my third place team, that's interesting. So I have Arizona, that's the difference. I have them the 21st best team. By example, Houston and the Chargers don't have their quarterbacks anymore. So I got Arizona 3 points better than both those teams with the stiffs that they're putting out behind center. And the best example I can give, I'm not on an island here. If the Chargers had to play with shtick all year long, you know, they're going to win they're going to win five games. I mean, Arizona's going to win 6.5 games, you know, with Murray. So clearly the superior team right now with the quarterback behind center.
Here's the follow-up I have really quick because I do want to move on. But Cardinals are off the bye here. Bad teams off the bye, could that go in either direction or is that always a positive?
How'd that work out for the Raiders last week?
Not good at all.
Worked out fine. They landed on the number. Their defense played great.
Right on the number. They projected that one right on the nails.
Winless team off of a bye is phenomenal. A team with very few wins off of a bye, typically very, very good. Teams don't tank in the NFL. Well, players don't tank, and it reinvigorates the teams typically. Although it is an interesting to have, we got two bad teams, Washington and Arizona, that have been eliminated, like Squid Games, have been eliminated weeks and weeks ago. Have they been in Cabo drinking all week, or are they refocused? We will see.
Yeah, I think the most interesting part of the earlier game is the fact that Dobbs, you know, even Dobbs at his peak with Arizona couldn't keep this within the number. We'll see if Murray can, but Fez thinks he can. He took a live bet on Arizona plus 13. Chris kind of thinks the Niners are the right side, but no official play from him on this particular game. Let's move on. Speaking of the Commanders, they are in LA taking on the Rams. Look at here was LA -6.5. Haven't really seen a ton of movement off of that number, but we have seen the total move up about 3 points from 46.5 now trading at around 49.5. So Washington is off the bye. They got blasted by the Dolphins 2 weeks ago. Didn't cover as a 9-point home dog in that game. Washington's now lost 4 in a row. They failed to cover their last 3 games. Rams, listen, feisty dog last week in Baltimore. Took the game to overtime, lost in overtime, 37-31 to Baltimore, but still covered the spread. And the Rams now have covered 3 straight. I think I might have this one correct. No teaser liability for you in this game, Chris. I don't see anything on this line for you.
No. No, I lean Washington in this game, just situationally. There's a zillion trends that support playing Washington in this situation. My model leans Washington a little bit. It certainly has these teams closer than 7 points. It's sitting at 6.5. I may step in if I get a solid 7, but I like the Rams. I have the Rams to make the playoffs. Wouldn't it be nice if the Rams had to travel to Detroit and play Stafford? That's what I'm rooting for. Mm. I don't have enough enthusiasm and basic interest and belief of what Washington will show up. I mean, it's just they're like the schizophrenic team. So I lean Washington. I think the Rams are the better team, and they're impressive. I'm sure they're not happy about losing last week. They did play much better than I thought they would. Damn. And they actually made Baltimore look a little bit, down to earth, a little bit more normalized in my
their defense. I didn't expect them to have as much success on Baltimore's defense that they had.
Yeah.
I don't like the spot for the Rams. I got a team off the overtime game against a team that's had 14 days of rest. So that's a major advantage to Washington. I do think there'll be lots of points. I'd lean over. But there's a lot of survivor people considering using the Rams. I do think that they absolutely should win. I've been impressed with them all year. Mike's on top of it. He's talking about the Commanders on the 14 days of rest. I'm on the sidelines.
And a great point by Godzilla too, about, just the way that these teams play. You said nobody tanks in the NFL, and Godzilla says December players are playing for their 24 contracts. 100% right.
Yep.
These guys, there are no guarantee. There are very few guaranteed contracts in the NFL. Unless you're Shohei Ohtani in Major League Baseball, you defer 68 of your $70 million in your contract every year to after. Don't get me started on the Wolf of Wall Street of Major League Baseball there, Shohei Ohtani. All right, let's move on because it looks like no one's playing this game in any capacity. So we'll just move on. Cowboys and Bills. I love this spot. I love this game, everything about it. Look ahead was Buffalo, about 2.5-point favorite. And we've seen a little bit of movement here towards the Cowboys, but still has not touched 3. On either side, it has not touched Pick'em, so we're still kind of trading in that very short favorite window for Buffalo. Cowboys off that very impressive win on Sunday Night Football in front of the world, 33-13 over Philly, easily covered as a 3.5-point favorite. They've now won 5 straight. They're 9-4 against the number this year. Bills gritty, and I give them a ton of credit. I said last week, I don't know if I trust the Bills in a big spot anymore based on what I've heard. They made me look very foolish, and a lot of people who jumped off the bandwagon. They won in Kansas City. A tight game, controversy, sure, maybe. I don't think so. Buffalo was the better team in that game. They deserved to win. Maybe they're turning a corner under Sean McDermott. And Fez, you are in agreement that maybe this is the turning point for Buffalo season and perhaps selling high on that Dallas win.
Yeah, so if you're a power rating guy, obviously Dallas is the better team by a couple points, and you're going to look towards Dallas. But if you're a situation guy, the Bills need the game like blood. You've got a team from Texas, it's going to go up to this game is in the north, and it is not. I mean, it's going to be a balmy day. Get out your sunscreen for Buffalo, New York, but it's still going to be 40 degrees. Advantage Bills, who absolutely need the game. And this did get hit, went up to -2 just in the past 10, 15 minutes. One betting thing to look for before I was ready to bet the Bills, -1.5. I pulled it up and I was like, what's this at the book that it was betting at? I always look at the money line whenever it's close to pick 'em. And the money line was -$1.20 at probably the most major sports book in Vegas. And I'm like, I got to give these guys respect. Well, I give them respect on all the respect in the world on Sunday when they take 100,000 a pop. When they're taking 10,000 a pop, there's all kinds of good bets that can be made. So I just shoved and put everything I could down on the Bills. -$1.20 on the money line. I've got my friends over at Unabated and some of my non-friends over at Unabated. Doesn't matter. They do a great job over there. And they'll tell you that Bills money line minus 120 is better than minus 1.5, lay $1.10, but I do indeed like both. And here's why I really like it. One more, we've done a lot of math this week. I love laying 1.5 on a game that's going to go 2 to 2.5. Why? Because, and Chris can appreciate this, options. So now all of a sudden I've got all these teasers. I can, if I want to throw in Dallas teasers up to +8.5, absolutely I can do that. And now I'm just sitting fat. If the teasers are doing well later in the week, I've got this corridor I can drive a truck through with Bills -1.5 and Cowboys +8.5. And wouldn't surprise me if I had such a corridor. If this game doesn't indeed get to 3, if it did get to 3, I would bet.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you think it gets to 3?
Absolutely not. Dallas is the clear-cut better team. There will be a stampede of Cowboy money. The rodeo's in town, and the the Cowboys will be betting the Cowboys in Vegas if they see +3.
You'll see the horses down the strip just like the F1. So I agree with what Steve said, but I'd rather have the minus 120 I'm holding than the 1.5 in that circumstance. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Load up on that money line. It protects you a little bit too. You summed it up perfectly, but I'm going the opposite way. I think I like the Cowboys up past the 11 to the 11.5, 12.5 range. In a three-team teaser, and I just want some cushion. I don't think Buffalo's going to be able to blow out Dallas. I think Dallas is too strong overall. And, you know, it's amazing that it just seems like Josh Allen can't seem to learn his lesson. You know, he made some mistakes in the game last week against Kansas City in a crucial game, to the point where the announcers were chastising him in a fashion where you don't hear a superstar chastised you know, for not throwing the ball or doing the right thing with the ball or doing, you know, careless things with it. They usually kind of give them a free pass usually. So at some point or another, Josh is thinking may get in the way and cost him a play or two, and that could be the difference. But Dallas has not played a top 10 offense or top 10 defense in a long time. I think it's been since week 2 or week 3, going on the road up to the frozen tundra. And it's out of their elements. And I just think it'll be difficult on Dallas. But I think that they're going to easily keep it within double digits. So that's why I have the teaser side of it. I would like the +8.5 on a 7 or 6 point teaser also. But that's where I am at it. I can't blame you guys for supporting Buffalo. It's a good situational spot for them for sure. But it's too obvious.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would say the obvious part on the public side would be to take the points with Dallas. Frankly, I think that's the obvious bet to me this week. Is people are going to say Dallas just beat Philly by 20. Philly was the best team in the NFL. Now they're going to they're an underdog against Buffalo, who, you know, their coach is talking about 9/11 stuff. I think Dallas plus the points is going to be one of the more popular wagers this week after it's all said and done. And I think situationally it's a really good spot. And really good comment in the chat. Fact of the matter, Dallas hasn't been away from home for a while. He must be reading my notes. First of all, he's right. Dallas hasn't played a road game since November 19th, week 11 at Carolina. Dallas is 7-0 at home this year. They're 3-3 on the road. So I think this is a very different game in the elements in Orchard Park, New York in December. And I do not think Dallas, this is the sell high spot. We've been buying Dallas quietly the last 2 weeks. Last week, we told you to bet Dak, the MVP. Now we're selling. Now we're selling Dallas. That's how it works, right? You buy at the bottom, then you sell at the top. So Fez and I are selling Dallas this week. We're on Buffalo -1.5. Chris is putting the Cowboys up to 11.5 in a 10-point teaser. Let's move on. Sunday night. Speaking of the MVP market, the Baltimore Ravens and their candidate, Lamar Jackson, on the road this week in Jacksonville. Look ahead was Baltimore -6.5. Now, that look ahead was when Trevor Lawrence was injured. He's obviously back now, although he looked a little bit gimpy on Sunday. So now the line's back to 3.5. Ravens off that, I don't want to call it an impressive win, but it was certainly an exciting win against the Rams. Walk off in overtime. They did not cover as a 7.5-point favorite, but Baltimore has won outright 7 of their last 8 games. Jags coming off that tough loss in Cleveland. They did not cover because of the 2-point conversion decision that they came on the wrong side of. And now we look at a 3.5-point line this week. Doesn't look like anyone's playing this game, but I've seen some threes pop up in the market, Fez. You think we're heading to 3 across the board?
Certainly possible. My first take on Monday was to bet Jacksonville plus 3.5. This surprised me. So I look at my power ratings, and I'll pull back the curtain. I make it 4 on my power ratings. I have Baltimore 6.5 points better than an average team. I have Jacksonville 1 point better only. They're not good with their underlying stats. So, and Lawrence, I don't think is 100%. So that makes Baltimore 5.5 points better on a neutral. At most, I can give Jacksonville 1.5 for a home field. That makes the game 4. People say, well, this is a primetime game. It's been moved. That's really important. Well, how'd that work out for Jacksonville when they played the Bengals in primetime? So if I make the number 4, it's really going to be hard for me to like find a good bet at 3.5. But at 3, I have to lean towards laying it with 3. But I got to tell you, I don't want a team that just won in overtime that has to go on the road now. I think that's a bad spot. So I'll lean Baltimore in minus 3.
You know what? I've been a very strong supporter of Baltimore, but they just did not. I was surprised they were not able to contain the Rams better. Jackson seems to piss away too many, you know, errant throws, and he kills too many plays that should be played a little bit differently. As we watch our Jets under go under more under, but I thought that this line was going to be kind of nutty. It's like, no way, but can't take Baltimore in this situation, not off the overtime, the way they looked in that last game with a little bit of cushion in the division. But, you know, as we've mentioned, Lawrence dinged up, Kirk out, Noren gone, 20-mile-an-hour winds, possible rain, Humphrey's back for Baltimore in the secondary, Jacksonville, they're going to be able to run the ball with who? No. And how are they going to throw the ball in that wind and against this defense? So I have to lean toward Baltimore in this situation, which I really was surprised. And I actually will have a play on this game later on. I am not going to play it at the 3.5, but I will play it later on when it's 3, and I'll do something with it at that point. And you can see what I do with it in the YouTube channel, but it will definitely be something Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm seeing Ravens 3 flash a little bit here in town. I would bet the Ravens at 3. I did make a bet kind of surrounding this team, the Baltimore Ravens, this week. I bet Lamar Jackson to win the MVP. I got it at 7-1, and it's just a situational thing. We think the Cowboys are losing this week, so Dak Prescott gets knocked down a peg or two. And the Ravens get 2 straight primetime games against 2 contenders, Jacksonville and San Francisco. If the Ravens win both of those games, and if Dak Prescott loses this week, Lamar Jackson is going to be the MVP favorite in 2 weeks. And it's just kind of getting ahead of that perceived move that I think will take place if those scenarios play out, as I just said. And I think Baltimore's winning this game this week, and I think if it gets to 3, I will play it right there. But no official plays, right? No, we're not officially playing this game. Nobody right now at the current price, right? Everyone's passing 3.5?
I will have an official play in the YouTube channel.
Yep. Good stuff. All right, let's move on. So this game was supposed to be the Sunday night game, and it got flexed. This game will be played in the early window on Sunday. And as I said earlier when I got the time of it wrong, this is becoming one of my more intriguing games of the week just because of what happened to Kansas City last week. Look ahead was right around where the current number is, 9.5 KC on the road, a favorite. Chiefs coming off that tough 3-point loss to the Bills. They were a slight favorite at home. They've now lost 3 of their last 4 games. So Mahomes and the Chiefs certainly trending in a downward direction. Patriots off extra rest, right? They beat the Steelers last Thursday outright as a 5.5-point dog. These teams have combined 18-8 to the under this year. I'll save my thoughts for the end, but I'll take it around the horn here. Any value on Kansas City at 9.5? And Fez, what direction do we think this line moves in?
So I make the game 9. So it's right where the current market is. Actually, the market has dropped in some spots down to 8. I'm going to encourage you here that I see, Jared, you played it in a 10-point teaser, Kansas City, and we lock in our play, so that's locked in. But if you're betting this now that there's 8... Now there's 8.5 out. There's no reason to play a 10-point teaser. Now you can use Kansas City in your 6 or your 6.5-point teaser. And now you only have to pair them with 1 winner instead of 2 winners. And so be flexible with that. Mahomes absolutely always wins off of a loss. So off of 2 losses, he has to win. So that's an ultimate lock, and it wouldn't surprise me. If you read Stanford Wong's book, and I do know Stanford, great guy. He wrote Sharp Sports Betting. Get that book. It will outline the Wong teasers. And he does not use road favorites as being Wong teasers because historically they don't cover as much. They don't win as much. An 8-point road favorite loses more than an 8-point home favorite. Having said all that, this would be the exception, I think. I think you can be confident KC wins the game. I'm fine with playing Kansas City teasers.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I actually had the line, higher. It's interesting because the news came out this week that Belichick's gone at the end of the season. Yeah. And it seems authentic. It seems like it's real. It doesn't seem like it's rumor. And I cannot believe that is going to – I just don't believe he has the clubhouse support at this point. So I'm not sure you're going to – I don't think you're going to get any sort of rally for our coach type of response from New England. They have a very solid defense that is going to cause some problems for Kansas City. But, the remarkable thing here, Kansas City is averaging 3 points per game in the fourth quarter. Can you imagine Kansas City averaging 3 fourth-quarter points per game? I mean, they're just – astounding. I was looking at some metrics on Mahomes, and it's just kind of going down like this. It's not, a deep drop, but if you go back year by year by year, it's kind of going like this. So he's gradually coming down to earth, and that might be because of his support group, but I cannot see Kansas City losing this game, especially after the way they've had 2 games in a row stolen from them in their eyes. In the fashion that it was. I just want them to come out of there with the win. So I have them in the third leg of a teaser. But what Steve said is 100% right. You would want to do money line, or you'd want to do a regular teaser. And road teams generally are not the best propositions. But I
Mahomes
think this
is indeed God. I talk about quarterback rankings, and he's light years. He's 5 points better than an average quarterback. Maybe that doesn't sound like a lot. Well, everyone else in the league at most is 2.5 points better. So he's so much clearly it should be the Mahomes MVP award. He should win it every year. He can't help it that his idiot wide receivers line up offsides or they can't catch the ball. The one I'm going to make a bold prediction, the Kelce lateral. 10, 20 years from now, we will see laterals being incorporated in college and in the NFL much more, especially towards the sideline, because when they're successful, just improvising and in desperate situations, it just makes sense that anytime you're an underdog and you're having trouble moving the ball, boy, that hook and lateral and plays like that are so effective. They're underutilized.
It won Boise State a Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma and Adrian Peterson like 10 years ago. I remember watching the game. I was in Tampa because I was going to the Outback Bowl for Penn State the day after. I remember watching that game. I'm like, why don't teams do this more? Anyways, we digress. Chad Moody's cracked me up in the chat today. So first of all, he made a really good point that even when KC's playing poorly, we're not getting them fair market value. And it seems to be somewhat drifting back towards New England. So maybe we'll get a little bit of a fairer price on Kansas City. But his funny comment was, I just won the over with a buddy on how the number of times Fez would mention personally knowing Wong this year. That can we save that goes in the comment of the year chat? Maybe our last show of the season, we'll put the best comments from the year on, and that one deserves a
book. I promised a completely buttoned up show, but anyone who listens to me knows, similar to like the Hulk Hogan situation, there's going to be a little grandstanding, little hot dogging, a little showboating in any show, and I apologize for that. Thank you to listeners.
We're running long today, but for good reason, because this show has been dense. Nutrient dense, like your favorite protein shake, packed with information. But let's go to our last game, Monday night, Eagles at Seahawks. Look ahead here was Philly -4.5. And I'll be honest, guys, the Eagles didn't leave a whole lot to the imagination last week. Maybe if they would have scored an offensive touchdown, I would have swept my Cowboys and over bet. But unfortunately, I finished a field goal, or I think it was 5 points short of the over. Because Philly didn't score an offensive touchdown last week against Dallas. Maybe they get one this week in Seattle. I don't know who's playing quarterback for the Seahawks. My guess is we'll be questionable with Geno throughout the week. Of course, last week it was Drew Lock. The Seahawks covered most numbers last week in San Francisco. did not cover, or excuse me, didn't cover the opening number before the Geno news was announced. But both teams kind of dealing with injuries here, right? Philly's got some defensive injuries, Blankenship, their best tackling safeties out. And of course, Seattle on offense, the DK Metcalf controversies. I don't think he's suspended, but he definitely got fined for the fight last week. Looks like we're all kind of staying away from this one. So I'll kick it to you first, Fez. What does the number say, Philly, Seattle, Monday night?
So if it's Geno, Seattle's a fantastic bet. The Eagles are, they're no good. And the line should be like 2.8. But if it's Drew Lock, then Seattle stinks and the line should be 5.5.
So it's kind of half-baked.
So I say, yeah, I've got Geno, an average quarterback, and Drew Lock like 3.5 points worse. So not knowing who's going to quarterback. And also, if Geno plays, is he going to be 80%, 90%, 67.3%? You know better than me.
Down too for Seattle, their best corner. I mean, Seattle's got some injuries on both sides.
Yeah, I don't think Seattle, I think there's an over-under out there of 8.5. I don't think they're going to win 9 games anymore. So I would look to bet that, but I stayed on the sideline for this game.
Chris, I'm on the sidelines also. I was actually surprised how far Philadelphia has dropped. I'm not willing to admit it in public where I have them, actually, but they've dropped. And right now they're in a rough situation. They need a win. But they've been very, very lucky to be where they are. I saw a new stat that some network has, which is tracking the luck factor of teams, and I found that interesting. And Philadelphia was by far the number one luckiest team this season. And I think we saw a little bit of that. You know what? Seattle's still playing hard. Carroll is a good coach. They're going to play this game hard. I think the Eagles... I just think they're not as good as we thought that they were. It's going to be interesting. And having to lay points in this situation, that's a tough pill to swallow. I think Geno Smith is on track to play. He's the most likely quarterback to play. And I certainly wouldn't be laying over a field goal in this situation. And I'm not sure I would want to lay a field goal in this situation, even though my model says that it's okay to do that. So I don't have a play at this point. I may update it later in the YouTube channel. I will not be on the Seattle side. That's the only thing that I can say.
Fez, if Geno plays, do we see 3?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think the market, this is a classic example of the market saying it's 50-50 whether he's going to play, and they're splitting the difference on the line.
All right, so I guess that's a really good place to leave it, because we don't have any plays in this game, and the quarterback decision still very much in flux. And thank you to Rico. I will take my flowers this week, because let's be honest, I'm the number one guy in the BetUS NFL show right now. I've got the best record, 54.5%. I'll take it all day long. But these guys are going to catch me, because they're not going to lose any wagers this week, right? Good stuff. I guess we'll do the tough truck now. We'll do the golden ticket reveal, and then we'll get to some Q&As. I just saw the chat pop up with some good questions. So let's find out which one of us this week is holding the golden ticket. Drum roll, please. I know Fez will be very disappointed if he loses 2 weeks in a row. He's very competitive about the golden ticket these days.
Come on.
Wow. Give me all the flowers. I want the flowers. Chris, I think you're on a losing streak now of like 6 straight with no golden ticket. So if there's a look-ahead line for the golden ticket, I think Chris should get it next week.
I have no screen. I can't see the golden ticket. I don't want it until I can see it.
Even if Chris had the golden ticket, he couldn't see it anyways. All right, so
let's fool him. Let's pretend when he wins, let's tell him he didn't win next week.
No, if Chris wins, we'll do it, and we'll make sure he gets to – everyone deserves their flowers when they win. This week it's me, and we'll find out momentarily which one of you lucky folks gets to have the winning ticket. I see people going in the chat now saying that Jared has the ticket, like you, Nathan Vermillion. Don't do that, Nathan. Don't be a cheater. Don't guess who has the ticket after – it's been revealed. So anytime now, my friends behind the scenes will put up who is the winner for this week.
Don't you have a viewer question right now or something?
We do have viewer questions. And yeah, Damian Edwards says hammer Chris next weekend. All right. We'll just move on to the viewer questions. Whenever they figure out who is the winner this week, they'll flash it on the screen and they'll let me know. When you do, if it is you, please email, DM. Here we go. Golden ticket winner. I got it now. Mike Hendren, congratulations. Paging Mike Hendren. DM BetUS. You have to follow them on Twitter, and you have to also be an account holder. You'll get your free entry into the Tough Truck Challenge. All right, Q&A this week. Heath Harrelson asked me a direct question, but I'll open it up to you guys. What's your favorite upset alert of the week? I think it's the Jets. If you want to talk like more than a touchdown, I think it's the Jets. If you want to talk field goal, I would say probably the Chargers or maybe the Panthers. Chris, any thoughts there?
I will answer this slowly while I get my
answer. You go first. Give Chris a chance to catch his
organized.
Not a big dog, but Jacksonville is an excellent chance to beat Baltimore off the overtime win.
Chris, the Jeopardy.
I don't know why, but Jacksonville probably has the best chance, but that's a three point game isn't good for that,
Jets.
Broncos.
Okay. Broncos in Detroit, even though you bet the money line parlay on Detroit.
you have to be able to disassociate yourself from what you want and what you expect and what's possible.
All right, here's what I want right now. I want Steve to explain to me which team would have home field advantage if Philly doesn't win out. I think the Niners have home field, right?
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah. So San Fran has the tiebreaker over Philly. It doesn't matter San Fran versus Dallas, because Dallas is going to lose one of their next two games almost for sure, because they're at Miami also. And I believe,
and Detroit,
although Dallas has the tiebreaker right now over Philly, Philly's a monster favorite to win the division, one, because they have a much easier schedule, and two, because it's very likely by the time the year ends, it will be Philly that will have the tiebreaks. So bet accordingly.
Good point.
Philly has three easy games after this game.
Yeah, and if they do win in Seattle this week, my guess is that NFC East market, I mean, it'll just go to beyond bettable at that point with Philly as the big favorite. This is really their last tricky spot, especially if Geno plays, that line shrinks a little bit. All right, Rico Bond, question about money management in teasers. When you have a teaser like you really like, how many combos do you put them in? Chris, this feels like a question designed for you.
You know what? I know Steve's good at this too, because he round robins his teasers. But what I do generally is I want to decide how much I want to invest in a team. And as I've mentioned, I like to kind of split up whatever I plan to invest into several different ones, so that the back end of the teaser isn't tied to just one back end, and the risk is kind of spread out a little bit. Mm.
But it's a great question by Rico. I would cap, unless you're a betting professional, you're always going to find certain bets that absolutely cannot lose. Example would be like Purdue money line last year in the NCAA tournament. Oh, bad example. Forget that one. But in general, a 5% of bankroll bet is the most you want to put on any one thing. So if you're betting 10 teasers, by example, and you're wheeling, and it's just a long week with a bunch of long teasers available, go read Stanford Wong's book, Sharp Sports Betting, about those. Then you can only bet
0.5%.
You ever met Wong? If you're taking shots, you're buzzed now on my references. But that would only be like 0.5% per teaser if you have 10. If you have 5 teasers with the team, then you bet 1% of bankroll. If you only have 2 teasers, you can bet 2.5% per teaser.
I think and this is the average Joe's, me, response, 2. I think putting them in 2, like last week for me, I think it was Baltimore last week. Yeah, Baltimore was my double last week. Thankfully, they didn't win by 1. At one point, they were going to, and I would have been very upset. But 2 is kind of my limit. If I like a teaser that much, I'll put it in 2 different legs. And again, that's just the average Joe's response from your
team. Let me make a suggestion here, because a lot of people don't realize – you should always write them out and see how they look and they tie into each other, because one of the hugest mistakes you can make is not realizing what kind of damage one team is going to do to everything else. And that's why you kind of want to mix it up a little bit and make sure that you are not too top heavy on one particular leg.
Love it. Damian Edwards, what's your favorite futures play for a team to make the playoffs? Guys, this is easy for me. Buffalo is plus money right now. If they win this week, that number goes flying in the other direction, I think. Fez, you agree with that?
I agree, but the schedule is really, really difficult for the Bills. I'd rather, and they're donezo if they don't win this game. I'd rather just bet them minus 120 to win the game and have a win right away. That's right. I don't have a playoff bet, but I'll give you one. Super Bowl. Let's bet on the Super Bowl right now. The NFC in some places is as low as -130. That's a bad number. The NFC, San Fran is power rated through the moon, as Chris has told you. So right now, take your little finger, click on NFC -130, and you'll be so happy when they're laying 4 come Super Bowl time, and you've got that in your back pocket.
Best comment in the chat right now, WSDEEJ. They basically put it out there for you. If the Ravens are the best power rated team in the AFC, right? Ravens Niners next week in San Fran's -6.5. So that kind of tells you, and you give what? San Francisco 2 for home field. So what, Fez, on a neutral? San Francisco -4, -4.5 right now over Baltimore, and that's the best power rated team in the AFC.
Yeah, over anybody. I mean, if they play Kansas City to get a bump for riding through the AFC, it'll still be, they'll be cutting in line to bet the Niners -3. It has to be higher than that.
Exactly. So that, I think that's the best advice you got on this entire show, because that is a bet that will continue to gain value over the next 2 months. NFC in the money line in the Super Bowl at I saw -130. Fantastic wager, and a fantastic way to move into our best bet segment. Of course, it's just a recap of the show. I'll go first here. My favorite child this week absolutely is Buffalo. That is a 2-unit banca for me, as Flash would say. I already bet 2 units on the money line earlier this week. The 1.5, obviously fine as well. Fez, I'll let you go next. Is there a favorite child for you on the card?
Atlanta, Carolina, -35. It will be 0-0 in overtime. In fact, it will tie. It will be a 0-0 tie. First tie of the year. No one will score.
All right, Fez, I let you go. Or Chris, I let you go last here to give you time to prepare. Favorite child?
I like the Vikings, and I see in multiple locations it's down to 2.5 in Cincinnati. So I'm not the only one that likes the Vikings.
Vikings plus the number in Cincy, Chris's favorite child of the week. Guys, it's been a fun show. We're about 10 minutes longer than we normally do, but I think it was worth the extra effort because we had a lot of really great questions and a lot of really good information. Steve Fezzik, only available pregame.com on that side. That's Las Vegas, Chris. I'm Jared Smith. Good luck. Week 15 in the NFL. Go win some dough.